Okay, now, usually it's appropriate to work in pairs, one side of a table. So if you're alone at your side of the table, you can either pair up with someone or feel free to work as three for the table. It's up to you. If you really want to, you can work alone, but usually it takes longer, and today is just barely enough time as it is. But we're doing the molecular modeling today, so have your packet out for that. And it's actually more than just molecular modeling. You're also doing properties of solvents, which is what involves the stuff that's on your trays. When you get to that part, do that as well. That doesn't take nearly as long as the rest of it, but make sure you don't skip that. We might run out of time, but that's fine. I'll tell you when it's last call. Take out your... Open up your kits, though. There's two kits, one for each side of the table. And look through it. See what you have in there to work with. Now, this is molecular modeling, right? So we're making molecules or representations of molecules. What do the wooden spheres represent? What does each wooden sphere represent? They represent atoms, more specifically. Actually, they don't even really represent an entire atom. They represent an atomic nucleus. Okay? But more specifically, what kind of atoms? Well, that's the list, but I mean, that's what this kit contains. Those are all, though, what? What do we have to be talking about if we're talking about molecular modeling? What kind of atoms? Didn't hear you.
Gas molecules?
No. Not necessarily. Didn't I just ask you this same thing earlier today? Or was it my other section? I have two lectures right back to back. If it's a molecule you're building, what kind of atoms are making it up? Non-metals, exactly. Molecules are made out of covalent bonds, right? Covalent bonds are between non-metals. Metals aren't involved. So the ones you find here are all either hydrogen, which remember is a nonmetal, or ones that are up here in the upper right-hand corner. Oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon. Those are the four biggies on that table, right, that we saw. But it could be fluorine, could be nitrogen, or you have nitrogen. Anyway, yes, it's nonmetals. But each individual sphere is really not technically the whole atom. It's the atomic nucleus. And that's because when bonds are formed, that involves interactions between electrons, right? So the electrons are represented by the bonds, or at least some of those electrons are represented by the bonds. What represent the bonds in these kits? Wooden sticks. An individual wooden stick represents what?
Two electrons,
which make up one covalent bond. That's right. Now, you can tell by the key and the fact that these are colored which kinds of atoms are which, right? But if you were making this at home and didn't have any paint, or if these were just not colored and didn't have any key, you could still tell what kind of atom each individual sphere represents. How could you tell that? By what? By the number of holes, exactly. Now, speaking of the number of holes, what does that number of holes represent in chemistry? Not the levels, no. Not the shells. Not the orbitals.
The number of electrons.
The atomic number?
No, close. Some of you are getting close here. The valence. Who said valence? Was that you? Right. The number of holes is that atom's valence. Remember I said that one way of thinking about the valence is that it is the number of bonds that that type of atom needs to make if it's going to be part of a molecule and satisfied. And that's how you can tell, without them being yellow, that the yellow ones are hydrogen. Each of them has one hole. That's a valence of one. What is the valence in general? What does it mean? Besides the number of bonds that it's going to make, what's the definition of valence? No. Anyone for valence? The valence is how many more electrons it takes to fill the valence shell for that atom. What shell? What is the valence shell for hydrogen?
One.
Level one. Shell one. That's the only one that it has electrons in, right? So that we don't consider the ones that are empty. What's the maximum number it can hold? No. The shell. Two. Therefore, it needs an additional one beyond the one that it has. That's what its valence is. How many more it takes to fill it. To fill that outer shell. Similarly for oxygen. What's the number of valence electrons for oxygen? Six valence electrons, two non-valence ones that are deeper in. They're not going to be involved in chemistry. The six valence ones might. But the valence of oxygen is what? Two, because it takes two more added to those six to get to eight, which is the maximum that level can hold. That's why there are two holes in every oxygen atom that you have in your kit, and so on. Three for nitrogen because its valence is three. Is that all clear? Okay, well, you've said that the valence is clear before too, but don't lie to me. If you're not sure, tell me.
It's even more clear after you explain it.
Okay. Well, that's why we're here. Now, you have springs also. We said that a stick represents a covalent bond. What does a spring represent? Well, a spring by itself also represents a covalent bond. But why not just have only sticks? You're right that springs are involved in double covalent bonds. No, that's a good guess, but no. It's really a simple matter of practicability. Look at how the holes are arranged. They're bored in there at different angles, right? Corresponding to the angles of the tetrahedron that we talked about in lecture. Well, if you need to make a double bond between two wooden spheres, you're going to have to connect two holes, right? Those would have to be drilled in parallel in order to use things that can't bend. So to make a double bond, you represent that with two springs that can be bent so that you can put them in at different angles. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, don't show me a model that has a single spring. A single spring is not a double bond. And if you're trying to depict a single bond, you wouldn't use a spring at all. You'd use a wooden stick. But you can't use two wooden sticks for a double bond because they can't bend. So, if you're going to show me a model, make sure, first of all, that that's true. Springs are only in doubles. And a pair of springs is four electrons, right? Because that's a double bond. Also, though, you don't have a complete molecule if there's any hole that's not filled. The whole molecule has stability because every atom involved is satisfying its individual valence, which in models terms means its holes are filled. Only if all the holes are filled do you have a complete molecule. All right? So the valence for individual atoms tells you how many bonds that thing needs to make in total, where double bonds count as two, triple bonds count as three. But however many oxygens are in a molecule, if any, every one of those oxygens needs to be making two total bonds, either a double bond or two individual single bonds. Every hydrogen needs to be making one bond because its valence is one. Every carbon needs to be making four bonds, either two doubles, a triple and a single, or four singles. Is that all clear? Well, then it's just a matter, really, of following along in the packet. One big lesson today is in following instructions, which not everyone equally excels at. There's a reluctance to read things in a lot of students, so try to follow these instructions. The reason that you're working in pairs or in groups is to talk these things out, too. Try to make sense of stuff. Don't be afraid to call me over, but talk it out. That's an important part of learning. Actually speaking the stuff puts it into your brain in a different place than where you put it when you read it or hear it, which is why a really good way of studying for an exam is to try to give a lecture. You can be alone in a room, but speaking it out loud without looking at something is a really good way of cementing the memories. Talk it out anyway. Build your models. And that's most of the time. But you should leave yourself 15 minutes or so. If it starts to get too late, switch off the models even if you don't get every little bit done, and go over to solvent properties so you get a little bit of each experience. Now just keep in mind in general, not just this week, but in general, once the quiz is done, which it is today, you're done with points for that day. You're never handing in these packets. So the reason you're going through these packets and writing things down on them is for your own study. You need to keep these things for the whole term. You need to study them for next week's quiz, of course. And more importantly, my recording for next week's quiz, just like always. And hopefully you listened to the recording last time to study for today's quiz. But you also need to keep these packets and the notes that are in for the whole term, because eventually you'll have a laboratory practicum, the last meeting of the term, which will be about all the weeks combined. So don't lose these things. But you're never handing them in. The only things you hand in are the paper quizzes we do first thing each week, and of course the electronic pre-lab quizzes that you have to remember to get done by the night before the lab. Yes, that will always be the case, and for the same reason. We don't actually go through the procedure until the following meeting, but you need some of the information that's in the packet to do well on the pre-lab quiz before the meeting occurs. Everyone clear on that? And this metric system one, that was an exception. That's the only one that will ever be on paper and that you give me after the lab. It's not technically a pre-lab, it's a post-lab. All the other ones will be pre-lab quizzes. Don't wait until the night before, because it makes it a lot easier for you to forget, and the cutoff is final. You won't get a chance to redo it. Okay? Now, I already went over Lewis dot diagram in lecture today. Just realize that's part of today, as you'll see in the packets. So make sure you understand that too in terms of any quiz questions, even though I'm not going to go through it because I just did a couple hours ago with you. Also, though, there is something about this activity that I don't like, which is that this is the first time we've ever done it in this order. Usually this would be the following meeting, and we would be doing salt water boiling today. I prefer that order, we have to have all the labs the same, so I don't make these decisions. But for some reason, we switched it up. And I don't like that because some of this material we haven't been really had a chance to lecture. You haven't had lectures on. And chief among that is the functional groups that's part of your packet. Now, I will be lecturing on the functional groups, so that's lecture material as well as lab material. But just realize that since it's in the packet, that's also fair game for quiz material. So you need to know the functional groups by next week. But we'll be talking about those as you call me over and have questions about them today. Functional groups are not complete molecules, though. They are just some atoms in a bigger molecule, but that particular arrangement of those certain atoms give that overall molecule a certain function. That's why they're called functional groups. But there's a lot more functional groups than the ones listed. Those are the ones that you're responsible for, though, the ones that are listed in the table. Any questions before I shut up and let you on? Yeah. What's that? No.
That's the easiest answer.
No, because it's too much like eating.